Morning. Today's reading is from Proverbs 2:1-9. My son, if you receive my words and try to mark commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the path of justice and preserves the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity and every good path.
Thank you, Andy. Let's pray. Gracious God, we come to your word now, and we do pray that we would hear from you, speak to us and guide us on your path. In the name of Jesus. Amen. So I encourage you to have that passage open in front of you, either in Bibles or your devices, and I'll trust you that you're not texting your friends or news when you're looking at that. Now, as you know, I've just come back from a trip with Oak Hall. Oak Hall's a Christian holiday organisation I've been involved with for well over 30 years now. We used to take young people away on holidays, but it's kind of a broader age range now. And the idea is we have Christian holiday and Bible teaching every night. I'm kind of like a chaplain during the day, and I do get a bit of a free jolly as well. And Malta's a lovely place. First time I've been there, it's a lovely place to take people. And I went in a shop, and you know, like I wanted to make sure I wasn't the typical English person and shout at them. So I talked nice and slowly and said, "How much is this water, please?" And she said, €2, mate. So I said, "Oh, where are you from?" Guess where? Southend. Yeah. Fancy that. What are the chances of that? But once Oak Hall do, I mean, I'm doing a bit of a pitch for them, but they are a great organisation. And the holidays are always really well planned, and they have some great outings. And we had a 3-hour walking tour of the capital, Valletta, isn't it? Valletta, which sounded quite daunting, but we had a wonderful guide, and I was really impressed. I mean, it was, you know, high summer, and it was 36 to 40 degrees. And people said to me afterwards, "Wasn't it hot?" But it didn't seem that hot because this guy was such a good guy. He planned it out really carefully. I mean, he must have done it hundreds and hundreds of times. But he works it out according to the time of day where he takes you. He knows where the shade is. And so he'll take you to a shady place and, you know, tell you about the history of the place and move you on to the next, and he'll know where the water is. He was just such a great guy to follow, because the idea was actually that we would have 2 hours and then there was an optional 1 hour with him, and he was so good, most of us said, "Yeah, let's do the other hour." He was a mine of information. It's all gone out of my head now what he told us, but he was absolutely brilliant. This chapter in Proverbs is a bit like a kind of a tour. It's a guide for going God's way. And it's spoken in the context of a father addressing his son to say, take the path of wisdom. Not any old wisdom, though, God's wisdom. And according to the Bible commentator Alan Hubbard, the meaning of wisdom here is observation, obedience, careful planning, prudent conduct, and sensitivity to God's will that Israel's wise treasured and taught. Sensitivity to God's will that Israel's wise and treasured taught. You know, going God's way. And we see that in the book of Proverbs. Right at the beginning, it centers it on God. Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And that fear isn't a kind of terror or a cringing fear. It's a reverent respect of God, because we want to go his way, because he's our creator. Proverbs 3:19 says, by wisdom the Lord laid the earth's foundations. God shows his wisdom in the way that he's created the world. He did that in his wisdom. It's an attribute of God, and we see that in the New Testament. Romans 16 verse 27 speaks of wisdom as part of God. It speaks of the only wise God. And of course we see it centres on Christ. Colossians 3:23, in Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And remember, James tells us, James 1 verse 6, if anyone lacks wisdom, let them ask of God, who gives generously to all without finding fault. So here we are in this passage, listening in on a conversation between the Father and the Son. And later on he warns him of dangers, particularly that dangers are relevant to him, the dangers of people of perverse speech, dangers of loose women. He wants him to go God's way and, you know, not be deceived and not be immoral. But what he's saying basically is, it's a dangerous world out there. And if you want to live in God's way, you're going to need his wisdom. Seek his wisdom above all else. Seek the wisdom that comes from God. And we had a great prayer day yesterday. And I thought the notes were really good, particularly as I didn't write them. That was really nice reading something that refreshed me that I had to write in the first place. It was great. It was really good. Most refreshing prayer day I've had yet, actually, because I was just taking in from what other people had put in. And I'm just going to read you what was in those notes, the first part. War in Ukraine, bills rising, climate change, nobody leading the country. It's easy to be overwhelmed with current circumstances, fearing for the future and wondering where things are heading. And that's before we look at our own personal circumstances. It feels a little like standing on a riverbank, needing to get to the other side, but wondering on earth how you're going to do it. Our prayer day is a chance to refocus, to spend time with God, maybe wrestle with some of the things that trouble us, and look to God for his wisdom and guidance. Well, I found that really helpful. And I want to follow on from that in the passage we're looking at today. And I've been in this passage for some weeks. It was in my routine of reading of the Bible when I went through Proverbs in July. And I just kept getting drawn back to this passage. We need wisdom to live for God. How can we get that wisdom to live for him in these turbulent times? Well, we're told here. Firstly, we need to make the right choices. The first four verses tell us about this. Notice how many times we have if there, because we have if in verse 4, and we have then, the result of it, in verse 5. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, and if you cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as hidden treasure. Now he's stressing the importance of choice. You must make the right choices. Then, it goes on to tell us, we'll be going God's way. What kind of choices? Well, there's the choice to hold on. If you accept my words and store up my commands. Now remember, the Father's not just giving him fatherly advice. He's speaking with the inspired word of God here. God is giving him his wisdom that he wants to pass on here. And the word accept also can be translated as receive. And it describes the way, you know, you grasp something and you hold on to it. When my passport was running out earlier on in the year, it still had a little bit of time to go, but Hazel's not here to correct me, but I quite wisely said to Hazel, I said, I'm going to put it in now while it's quiet. And she said, you can't do that, you want to wait. No, I want to do it now. Anyway, my passport came through, and then, of course, there was all this news about delays in passports, and I said, told you so, told you the right thing to do. But I tell you, when I was away, I've held on to that passport, because I have a way of losing things, but the one thing I don't lose is a passport. You know, I've got this iron grip. In fact, I think I do a bit of an OCD check every few minutes in my bag. Is it there? Is it there? Never let go of my passport. I hold on to that. I don't care what else I lose, but you've got to have that. And that's the meaning of the word here. Hold on to God's wisdom above all else and store it up. And that describes the way that you would gather and keep great things of value and store them up. You know, when you collect things, you know, you collect records or you collect antiques, but you store them up and they're in this special place. I won't tell you how many records are in our house at the moment, but quite a lot. But they're stored up, they're kept safe. And what he's talking about receiving and storing are the words he speaks. wisdom that God has given him. And of course, the broader application is it's the word of God in which we find that wisdom. As David said in Psalm 119, verse 11, I have stored up your word in my heart so that I might not sin against you. And we do that in two practical ways. We do that by turning our ears to wisdom. This is how we hold on. This is how we hold on, actually, by listening. And that's a powerful picture because it describes someone who's consciously and deliberately listening to the wisdom that comes from God. You know what it's like when there's a lot of background noise? Often when I'm in the coffee shop and I'm chatting to people and there's a lot of background noise and I have to really kind of cut my ears and I'm a bit deaf anyway, too much rock music in my youth, well now probably, but so I have to come turn towards them and put my ear towards them so I can hear them. That's the picture here. You're really listening hard to what God's saying in his word. That's a challenge, isn't it? And when we open our Bibles and say, Lord, I want to listen to what you're saying in your word here. And then by applying our hearts to understanding. And understanding is discernment. You'll find wisdom and understanding put together quite a lot here, because wisdom, you know, is the guidance that God gives, is the overall picture, how we're to live for God, the way we're to live for him. And understanding is actually the discernment to know how to put it into practice in everyday life. Same pattern actually is in Colossians 3 that talks about wisdom and discernment. We need that from the heart, it says. And of course, as you know, in the Bible, the heart is what makes us tick. So what he's telling us to do is to put everything we've got into it. And then we need to choose to call out. We've got two parallel statements here. Call out for wisdom and cry out for understanding. Wisdom and understanding there. Call out and cry out are kind of very similar, but it's just emphasising. You've got to call out to God for these things. You call out is, you know, when you want to invite a guest. You don't whisper it. You really want them to come. And you know when you see someone you haven't seen for a while? During the lockdown, we were able to open the church for prayer, and I saw an old friend, a big buddy, walking past. And I didn't say, oh, there's my friend. I embarrassed him. I opened the door and said, oi, Rob! No, come here! No, I haven't seen you for ages, but keep your distance, because it was still, you know, social distance and everything. But I mean, that's the idea of it here. You know, we're calling out to God. And remember that verse in James, if anyone lacks wisdom, let them ask of God. Call out to him for it. And then we need to choose to search hard. Search for it with silver. In those days, actually, silver was more valuable than gold. There was more gold than there was silver. So he's saying, search for it as you look for treasure. Search out God's wisdom. And we've got to choose to do these things. So whatever situation we're in, to stop and say, I want to choose to search out God's wisdom. I want to choose to search out his way. I want to call out to him. I need his help. I'm choosing to do that. And every day we need to stand back and make that choice. So, how do we live for God in these turbulent times? We need to make the right choices, and then we need to have the right focus. And of course, that's the Lord himself. As I said, first four verses, if these are the choices, verse 5 is the result. Then, if we make these choices to hold on to God's wisdom, to call out to him, for understanding how to put it into practice, then we will know two things. We will understand the fear of the Lord. Remember, beginning of Proverbs 1 verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, the revering God. And we don't always have so much of that nowadays, that reverence of God. You know, we do need that healthy fear of displeasing. Not that we're scared of him, but that we want to please him because he's our God. And then to find knowledge of God. And the kind of knowledge that's described there isn't head knowledge, it's packing your head with things, but it's a personal knowledge of God, a relational knowledge of God. In other words, we'll be closer to him. And so verse 6 says, for the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. See, what Solomon's saying here is, this isn't something that we just learn for ourselves. It's part of a relationship with God so that we can live for him. God himself speaks these words and applies them to our lives. And of course, in the New Testament context, we know that he sends his Holy Spirit who enables us to live it, and we follow the example of Jesus, who is the wisdom of God in person. So we make the right choices, we have the right focus, and then thirdly, we can reap the rewards. And it's interesting, each reward is marked by a quality. You know, it's expected that if we have these rewards, there'll be a certain quality in our life. God will give us victory, for he holds victory in store for the upright. Now I gather that that Forest fans were a bit disappointed yesterday, is that right? You know, but just cast your mind back to happier days, you know, when Forest won. What did they win? They won the FA Cup, was it, or something, or Champions Cup, or I don't know how much about football. Well, I try and be relevant, and I can't be, but let's go to the Commonwealth Games, you know, when one of our athletes, you know, won a gold medal. That's the idea about victory. It's getting to that place that we need to be, you know, achieving a goal. And there's a quality here. It's that we're upright. If we want to achieve that goal to be living for God in a way that pleases him, we've got to be upright. And that means there should be nothing crooked about us. Another reward is that God guards us. Verse 78. He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless, for he guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. Lots of military images here, which isn't surprising because it's Solomon and he had a big army. And remember, the context is that he's warning his son that this is a dangerous world. There's all sorts of temptations that are going to pull him away. And as we know from a New Testament aspect, we're in a spiritual battle. Satan will try and pull us away. But Solomon tells us that, you know, while we seek God's wisdom, while we call out to him, while we put it into practice, God shields us from attack. God guards our way. And the English Standard Version says that he guards the way of the just. In other words, he enables us to do the thing that will honour him. And again, there are qualities we need to have for this. If we're going to know his protection, we need to be blameless. And no one can point a finger and say, you Christians, what do you think you're doing? They can point rightly to something that we're doing wrong in our life. And we need to be faithful. And that's actually a word that describes God's people as a whole there, a body of people faithful to him, committed to him. And then another reward is that God guides. Verse 9, then you will understand what is right and just and fair, every good path. You know, when I was a young Christian, I used to think that the guidance was, you know, God telling me, you know, what job I should do and who I should marry and all these kind of details of my life. And actually, I realised actually that in the Bible sense, guidance is actually knowing how to put God's word into practice in everyday life. And we can get so mystical about guidance, can't we? I remember a minister I knew, and he was always a bit of a wag, this minister. He was always immaculate, this minister. He was quite a bit older than me, like, kind of the same age as my father, a bit of a father figure. And he came from a pristine background. I think his father was company secretary to some big, massive company. Went to business, but he was just a lovely man. He didn't have a tie one day, and I said, "Oh, wouldn't be you without a tie, though." And he said, "What are you with a tie?" But he was very quick-witted, this guy. Andrew Anderson, his name was. He told this story about someone who clearly wasn't suited to the mission field, to go to the mission field, but they said they had guidance. He said, "God has called me to Turkey." So he said, "Well, it's my responsibility as your pastor to test that call," he said. So what's the basis of that call? He said, "Well, I was praying what to do with my life, and I walked into the sweet shop, and the first thing I saw was a Turkish delight." And I love the way he answered. He said, "Well, it's a good job you weren't standing in front of the Mars bars, wasn't it?" And he kind of put a pin in there. We can be so sort of mystical about these things, and actually, you know, talk a load of old nonsense, because sometimes we use these things just to do what we really quite like to do. But guidance, as far as this passage is concerned, is about knowing what is right, doing God's will in day-to-day life. Do you know, if we get on with that, doing God's will in the details of life, then the big things will take care of themselves, because we'll be just going on the right course, and naturally, God will open doors and close doors. And right there can be translated as a righteous. It means doing the things that pleases God. And also we need to do what is just. And that describes an attitude of objectivity. You know, we don't do things that bring us in dispute. And also fair. That means that we meet God's righteous standards. In other words, you know, our lives honour God in every way. That's how we know that God's guidance in our life, when we follow these principles. And then finally, God blesses us. Verse 10, for wisdom will enter your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. You know, this isn't like horrible medicine. Do you remember when you had to take horrible medicine? And my mum used to say, it'll do you good. If it tastes bad, it'll do you good. And you know, I'm forcing you out. It'll do you good. It'll do you good. Just remember, no matter how bad it tastes, it'll do you good. And we spot Julie Andrews, you know, a spoonful of sugar. But then she didn't give me that to the back of my teeth. So, but actually, here, it's not like that. It's not like medicine that we have to take and swallow. This is good. It's good. It's the right way to live. It's the satisfying way to live. It's the way of peace. It's the way of God. It doesn't mean that we'll have an easy run of it, but it means we'll be closer to God and go his way. We'll be at peace in this turbulent world. What a time we live in. So many, many challenges. And I know many people here are worried about the future, you know, about their energy bills, about how they'll cope and what they'll do. But God hasn't changed. And he's called us to live for him in these turbulent times. And we're going to need his wisdom to do so. Let's seek it above all else. Let's make these right choices. Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you that you are the only wise God, that you give us wisdom to live for you. And you know, we do face such turbulent times at the moment, times we have not seen for many, many years. Help us to walk your way, to make the right choices, to know your peace, to know your enabling, to live in a way that honours you and to keep close to you. In the name of Jesus, amen.